Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Walter Davis with Progress in the World Radio Show, coming to you from the Los Angeles area in California. And today we have a very distinguished guest in Greg Palast, who's going to be talking to us about how Jim Crow is alive and well in Georgia. And we're going to be exploring that. He's an investigative reporter that's done a lot of work with the BBC. He's got movies out and books, so please support him by going to gregpalast.com and learn more about Greg there and his findings. These things are germane to all of us because we are all subject to voter suppression, and I believe that his findings will be helpful to all of us. I'm trying to reach him now, so please stand by. We're live. And I'll be hopefully bringing him on board very soon here. And I appreciate all of you for tuning in. So we're calling his office right now.
This is Greg Palast. You've reached our office while we're out.
Okay, so unfortunately I'm not able to reach him at this moment. He knows that we have a show at 11 o'clock. It's about 11:01, so we'll give him some time to call in. So some of the things that I know that have been happening in terms of voter suppression are unreasonable ID card regulations, people being arrested at the polling place, you know, people going in to vote and then being arrested, having police standing by, which would definitely dissuade people that have some type of criminal background or like a felony or something of that nature, or just people that are afraid of the police. We've seen how police brutality has taken hold in the past. So there's a lot of ways in which voter suppression can take place. Removing polling places, for example, areas that are mostly populated by people of color. They don't have transportation to get to, other areas. And so that can definitely impede people in terms of being able to vote. I'm going to give Greg another try here, see if I can reach him. Please stand by. And we're live, and these are the kind of things that happen when you're live. I'm just grateful that I was able to get him this morning to agree to do the interview. He's an outstanding advocate for all of us and our rights, done a lot of hard work for all of us.
This is Greg Palast. You've reached our office while we're...
Okay, interesting. So anyway, I'm still continuing to try to reach him, and he knows that we are going to be doing this interview. When you visit his website, you'll get to see a lot of different videos and interviews on there, a lot of great material. Please share this with your family, friends, and constituents. It's very important because there is a movement here within this country to take away our rights, to change the Constitution, to make it very hard for people to vote. So a lot of people say, well, our vote doesn't matter, but they sure do work very hard to suppress our vote. So that tells me that it is important. And lots of people have lost their lives, you know, fighting so that we could have the right to vote. I grew up in the South in the 60s, and I know this to be true. So right now, again, I'm trying to connect with Greg Palast. We talked this morning. He knows that we're going to be going live here at 11 o'clock, and I expect him to be coming aboard very soon. He just got back from his coverage in Georgia. So a lot of great information to be put out. And I'm looking forward to see what his investigations have revealed. So I'm going to try once again here to get through to his office. And I'm texting him as we speak as well. All right. It's unbelievable that in this day and time, we still have voter suppression occurring. And a lot of people say, well, they don't want to get involved. But you are involved, whether you want to or not. And we all have to work hard to fight
this
for
it. This is Greg Palast. You reached our office while we're out.
All righty. I don't know what's going on, but I'll continue to try to reach him to get this broadcast going. Texting him right now. This is sort of a last-minute opportunity for me. Usually I take about 3 or 4 days to prepare for these things and to put out information. But in this case, it was a short notice. So I am hoping to share this recording and that you'll share it with other people because a lot of great information will come out. Again, within the structure of the body of this broadcast, I have a link to gregpalast.com, and when you go there, you'll be able to see some of the movies that he has produced, a lot of great reading material, and a lot of wonderful video interviews on there that I think you'll find quite informative. I've been following Greg for years, and I met him a couple of times. He's a wonderful man. He does a lot of hard work and a true patriot, a true person that is focused on helping preserve the rights of all of us. I mean, so he's very unselfish in terms of how he uses his treasure, kind of like me. And so that's why I also need you guys to support me as well. I have my financial services. I've got my exotic boot imports. If you guys want to buy a nice pair of crocodile belly boots, you know, hey, look me up at DNA.com. Or if you need a will or a trust, my attorneys can develop wills, trusts, and medical directives for you. I want to try Greg once again here, and hopefully I can get through. That's what happens when you do things live. I'm trying to get through, so let's see here. Let me try once again. This is a wonderful feature, this Blog Talk Radio. I'm hoping that I can get more people to get involved and we can develop our own Citizens Internet Radio Network and start reporting things in our local area and broadcasting worldwide. Okay. Hi, Greg. Is that
Greg
you?
Palast here. Yes, yes.
All right. Yeah, I was trying to get through.
Because on the landline, I kept getting cut in by this spam call, and it wouldn't let me pick up your call. Okay. Weird. Okay.
Isn't that amazing? So I've just been kind of talking about you. And very pleased to have you on board and
yes.
Very proud of the work that you're doing. I look at your website, and I've got a link to your website built into the body of this broadcast. So
okay.
Jim Crow was alive and well in Georgia. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, this is Greg Palast. I've been investigating, people don't know me, I've been investigating vote suppression for about 22 years for BBC Television and The Guardian, Rolling Stone, et cetera. But about 9 years, I've been focused on Georgia. And why Georgia? Because that's where they test drive all the wonderful racial new vote suppression techniques. And this year I made a film released by George DiCaprio, Martin Sheen, and narrated by Rosario Dawson, called Vigilante, Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman, which, by the way, you can see for free through New Year's Day. Just go to vigilantemovie.com or to my own website, gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST, gregpalast.com, and you'll be able to get this film for free. After that, you don't get it at all because it hasn't been released yet commercially. We're doing this so people understand what's been going on. So what's been going on in Georgia, and it's important because it's going to affect the entire nation. Yes, Reverend Senator Warnock was reelected barely, but only because we were able to bust some of the worst Jim Crow techniques. But in fact, Jim Crow is alive and well in Georgia. I don't care what the media says. You're getting this complete BS, Walter, from everyone from the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, MSDNC, you name it. Every outlet has said that there was a record voter turnout in Georgia. That's completely the opposite of the truth. There was, in fact, a record decline. In the last runoff, there were 4.5 million votes. In this runoff, there were 3.5 million votes. That's a million vote drop. Almost the entire drop came from the 83% reduction in mail-in ballots. Now, those mail-in ballots in the last runoff broke 2.5 to 1 for Warnock. It's overwhelmingly the mail-in votes were the Atlanta urban progressive and black vote, which was the mail-in vote, and they basically made mail-in voting illegal in Georgia. So you had a massive, massive, massive reduction in the black vote, a huge fall-off because of the Jim Crow vote suppression tactics. Now, the fact is, so people ignore that because, Warnock still won. Well, that's because he ran against a ridiculous candidate. But when I say he won, he barely squeaked through. In the general, he won by less than 0.5% of the vote. He won by like a 0.1%, 35,000 votes out of 4 million cast. 35,000 votes, that was it. And that's only because we were able to bust and stop a challenge to 37,000 voters in Gwinnett County, a suburb of Atlanta, and other places through the film that we did. So we warned people about this new system of vigilante vote challenges. By the way, what that means, a vigilante vote challenge, this is a technique first invented by the Ku Klux Klan in 1946, where any voter in Georgia, and this is true in most states in the Deep South, any voter can challenge any other voter's right to vote. And this is how in 46, Eugene Talmadge was the Ku Klux Klan's candidate for governor of Georgia, won by basically challenging almost every black voter in several counties in Georgia. What the governor of Georgia, the Republican governor Brian Kemp, has done in a bill called SB 202, which the NAACP calls Jim Crow 202, he said that Brian Kemp took the Ku Klux Klan game and took it into cyberspace by saying any Georgian can challenge an unlimited number of other Georgia voters. And when we say unlimited, we mean unlimited. And that is, I have one woman in the film Vigilante, Pam Reardon, you'll see her. She personally challenged 32,000 voters. Let me repeat that. One woman, one Republican GOP operative. And basically, every challenge was mounted by the GOP, by the Republicans. The Democrats didn't challenge a single voter, not one. But the Republicans challenged 149,000 voters. One woman, 32,000. Another guy who dresses like a vigilante, he's vice chairman of the Republican Party. He's the chairman of the Republican Party in Southern Georgia. And this vigilante who actually walks around with 6 guns and a cowboy hat, loaded guns, he challenged 4,000 voters, including Major Gamaliel Turner of the U.S. military's expert on wars of the future. He's actually helping Ukraine right now. It's wars of the present at all. So this Major Turner, who's one of our top military strategists, he was denied his right to vote in Georgia. They wouldn't send him his absentee ballot because they said, he's not a Georgia citizen anymore. He's not an American citizen anymore, even though he's a soldier. But he was assigned by the military to California, to Port Hueneme. And so they're challenging African-American soldiers who are assigned elsewhere. This is one of the games that they also made, when I said 83% drop off in voting, they made absentee voting, which is used mostly by Democrats in Georgia, overwhelmingly by Democrats, they made it nearly illegal to vote early. They vote by mail.
They cut the number of early voting days from 60, 6-0, to 7. Let me repeat that. You're talking almost, you know, not 90% drop in the number of days you can vote early in a runoff, from 60 days to 7. And so when they said there were record turnout, what they meant is that on any given day there were more voters than before. Well, of course, if you cut from 60 days to 7, you're going to get more people on those days that you're open. If you only open a bank one day a week, you're going to have longer lines at that bank, right? So that's how it works. So this is a game that was being played and is being played, and our government and our media is just standing there with its hands folded saying, oh, hooray, there's a record turnout in Georgia. It's a lie. It was a pure Republican Party press release, but it was swallowed by everyone. So there you go, Walter. That's the sad truth. That's a sad story. And that's why I love you, because you allow us to get the real word out here on your podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm real proud of you and the work that you've done there. I mean, this voter suppression thing is just, you know, horrible, and it's unbelievable. But what really bothers me is that people that just sit on the fence and say, I don't want to get involved in politics, and they're involved anyway, whether they want to believe it or not, right?
Well, yeah, you're involved. Okay. When you can't pay a medical bill, that's politics, because every other country in the world has. Every other advanced nation in the world has health care as a right. You don't pay. It's just in England, you don't pay a penny for going to a doctor. Nothing. Even if you're not a citizen, even if you're just visiting. Here, healthcare is now a privilege for some reason. Being healthy is a privilege. That's if you're sucking pollution, you're coughing, you've got asthma. That's political. If they send your kid to Iraq, that's political. So you don't have a lot of choice. Politics is every day. Politics affects everything you eat, breathe, do, think, write, hope for. It's all politics, and you have a choice. The one thing we do have in America is at least a good imitation of democracy. It ain't perfect, but if you do not take the rights you have, do you really want someone to vote for you? Do you want someone else to pick your life and your leaders? So you can say, well, I don't want anything to do with it, but it has something to do with you, whether you like it or not. So it's, do you want someone else to control your life, or do you want to try to take some charge of it? That's what it really comes down to.
And that's one of the things that progressives have not done a good job of in terms of messaging and connecting the dots, you know, in terms of the historical values that we're talking about here. And in other words, a lot of people do not know what the New Deal is, and that's what the conservatives have been focused on destroying, and that's one of the reasons why they are attempting voter suppression. Yet I don't see continuity in terms of leaders within the Democratic Party or other progressive groups connecting the dots back to the New Deal. Because they want to destroy Social Security, and so they're willing to go through any means necessary to liquidate our votes so that we don't have power. And I just find it amazing that people don't find that of interest.
Well, here's the thing. It's like people don't understand what it took to get where we are. Like, I'll never forget those signs when people are protesting Obama's Obamacare. You had people carrying signs saying, government hands off my Medicare. Where do you think Medicare came from? It came from the government, from the Democratic Party. Let's face it. I'm nonpartisan. I really am. But, you know, let's take a look at it. How many Republicans voted for Social Security or Medicare or voting rights, the civil rights law, the voting rights law of 65, et cetera? That was done by a vote, and those people were only put in office by you, the voter. So you can say, well, what do they do for me? The answer is there's a lot missing in America. As I say, we don't have the health care system we ought to have. We don't have control of industry. Jobs are still unsafe. But things would be far worse if we didn't have OSHA if we didn't have Social Security, if we didn't have unemployment compensation. You know, we take that for granted. That had to happen because someone made that decision. Someone made that decision that, and we had those votes. We didn't have the votes. Now, right now, Senator Warnock is the 50th Democrat. He's just been reelected. It's only because because there are 50 Democrats. If there are 49, you can forget any new voting rights law. We just had infrastructure plan passed by exactly 50 votes, plus the tie-breaking vote of Kamala Harris. And, you know, that continued extended unemployment. It's fixing up our roads and infrastructure, helping us with education. You know, we still have a long way to go. In most countries, higher education isn't charged. It's free in most advanced nations, free or a very low charge. Here we go bankrupt trying to put our kids through school. And we can change that. Whatever benefits we have been voted. So voting is the game. That's all we have. Is it a miracle? No. But you brush your teeth every day. It may not prevent every cavity, but imagine what it'd be without brushing your teeth. So you brush your teeth every day, so you vote once or twice a year. You know, it's not a miracle, but if you don't do it, someone else is going to choose your leadership, your life, your health care, your streets, your courts. You don't act on it, on what you got, and you got to fight for it. You know, the Major Turner I told you about, African-American military career officer, he was denied his right to vote by the state of Georgia. Well, he went and fought. He got lawyers from Washington. His wife, who was denied her vote, had to fly to Georgia to cast her vote because they wouldn't send her the absentee ballot in California. Very expensive, very difficult, but he fought for a reason. His father, the Reverend Harold Turner, was a founder with Martin Luther King of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. So he knows what it's about. He knows what happens. Until 1946 in Georgia, black people didn't have the right to vote, and they fought for it. Even though the Klan had elected their governor, there was a Democratic president, Harry Truman, who was going to have him arrested for blocking black voters. Talmadge got lucky. He didn't go to jail because he drank himself to death first. And then African Americans were allowed to vote in Georgia. That was 1946. So people take action. So it's not just voting, it's protecting your vote. If you're listening to this and you're in California especially, I'd go online and make sure you're still registered to vote. I did, and my registration was purged. That is, they go through the voting list and people knock your name off. You better find out if you're allowed to vote. But if you don't vote, you're handing over your power to someone else, and someone else you haven't seen and don't know. If you trust someone else to choose your leaders for you, good luck.
It's very interesting how people can vote to have their own rights taken away, to suppress their own votes and to make it harder for themselves. That's a phenomenon I just don't understand, you know, in America, but it is what it is.
I have to say, like, my wife is Swiss. They don't even have voter registration in Switzerland. You have to understand, Switzerland has open borders to the neighbors around them. It has a higher immigrant population than we do in America as a percentage of their population. They have all these non-citizens nearby and in their country. They don't worry that someone's going to vote twice or vote illegally. They don't even have voter registration. You walk in and you vote. They assume you're a citizen. They don't take away your vote. They count every vote. I'm in England. They count every vote. There's none of this purging voter rolls, none of that garbage that we have here. You know, that the only reason Brian Kemp became governor of Georgia is that he removed 340,000 voters from the voter rolls of Georgia. And it's because he said they didn't live in Georgia anymore. I went through that. This is Greg Palast. You know, if you go to gregpalast.com, you'll see my stories. And if you see the film Vigilante, you'll meet some of the people he knocked off the voter rolls, including Christine Jordan, 92 years old, I was at the polling station when she was thrown out. They said, you don't live in Georgia anymore. She lives down the street. I went to her home, and there on the wall was a picture of her having dinner at that house that they said she didn't live in with Martin Luther King, who was her cousin. They threw out Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin. They threw her out of the polling station. And that's how Stacey Abrams was defeated for the governorship by Brian Kemp, who, as in his role as, at the time, Secretary of State, which is the job that controls your voting here in California and in Georgia, as Secretary of State, he removed all these legal voters, most of them black and young voters, in other words, Democrats. That's the game that they play. So what you have to do is you have to fight it, not do their game. I'm very happy that the Democrats did not challenge other voters. But we do have to we have to fight for the vote every time. You know, there was a Voting Rights Act passed in 1965, but it was gutted by the Supreme Court in 2013. And it was gutted by a court that was appointed, the majority was, appointed by the GOP, by the Republicans, and they decided to remove lots of the voting rights. So therefore, we have to continue to fight for our own. Don't expect the government to do it. We're going to have to do it ourselves. You know, and that's the issue. We got to just do it ourselves. I'm sorry if voting isn't that easy. Sometimes you got to fight for it. But they're only stealing it from you because it's valuable. No one would take away your vote if it was not valuable. It's very valuable. So don't take away your own vote by not voting.
Yes, I find this, you know, very fascinating that we have a group of people who believe that they can make decisions for the country better than the rest of us. In other words, they consider us to be the rabble. We're ignorant. They want to conform to some type of loose Christian beliefs or what have you. It seems very contradictory that they would call themselves Christians, but they want to have law enforcement for everybody else, not for them. It's okay for them to break the law and take home classified documents and do illegal things. To talk about freedom, and as a retired military person, you know, I believe this. I went overseas and fought in wars for this country. They talk about spreading democracy, yet at the same time, they're trying to suppress democracy here in this country. It's simply amazing.
But there's more of us than them. There's more people in America who believe in freedom, that everyone has the right to vote, that everyone has the right to their own privacy and their own lives without an imposition of someone else's religious beliefs. That's the majority of people in America. But the only way that we can express that majority power to protect our freedoms and privacy and rights is if we fight for our vote. Everything comes back down to the vote. I mean, for those who know Greg Palast and see me on programs like Democracy Now! Or read me in Rolling Stone or whatever, you know that I cover a lot more issues than just voting. But I got to tell you, if you don't have the right to vote, you don't have nothing. You know, I've done stories on pollution, the Exxon Valdez disaster, the financial ripoffs, et cetera. But that still comes down to government. We had a housing collapse in 2008 that brought down the entire economy because our politicians decided to deregulate, that is, decriminalize the housing market and the mortgage market. And so you ended up with sharks overcharging people in the prices, and people couldn't pay the loan sharking prices for mortgages. Our housing system collapsed. That was a government decision. That was a government decision. And then we had to bring in, if you remember, Bush was president. And so the public said, we better start protecting ourselves. So they voted in Obama. Now, was Obama a miracle? Did he save us from everything? Was he the best president ever? No, that's nonsense. But we took a stance. And if it wasn't for that change, we'd be in more hot water than we are now. It ain't lovely now. But it sure as heck beats what could have been. So I'm very, very concerned that we dismiss voting. It's not a miracle, but it's what we got. And if you don't protect it and you lose it, hey, as you know the old song, you don't miss your water till your well run dry. Right?
Well, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, and so I was there when, you know, 16th Street Baptist Church was bombed by Ku Klux Klan firemen. And Bull Connor, we had this police chief that rode around in a white tank, and they killed people. And so these are the kinds of things that we have to fight against. I mean, it's like people see these things on television, the Westerns and all the violence, and they think that that's all over. But those forces are still there, and these people will kill you. I mean, it's not like I have a choice. I know I don't have a choice. I've been fighting these people all of my life who've attempted to make me subhuman and to violate my rights.
Well, I have to say there's a long section on history in Vigilante, which is also called George's Vote Suppression Hitman. Don't be fooled by the name George. It's everywhere. It's just that's where we focus our attention. But, you know, the histories of lynching and terror, and in fact, the current governor, Brian Kemp of Georgia, he was arresting African-American officials, creating a whole terror system to try to intimidate a lot of voting. So this continues. He, for example, when he was Secretary of State, he arrested 10 members of the Quitman School Board. 10 members of the school board. These are mostly teachers, including two PhDs, and said that they were manipulating the vote for school board, that they had stuffed some ballots. There was no evidence. It was complete nonsense. Someone said, oh, they saw people putting absentee ballots in a mailbox. It was ridiculous, which, of course, is legal. Where else are you going to put your absentee ballot? And the jury threw it out in 5 minutes, but the problem was that people went through terror. One of the people that was charged, they were all 10 black school board members, the first time that the school board had elected black officials. And she said, you know, she was considering committing suicide so she could get out of this mess. These are innocent people. So the terror continues in new forms. They arrested, I was in Coffee County, which is a sundown county. I don't think people know in California what a sundown community is. That's where black people are not allowed to walk the streets after sundown. I kid you not. That still exists in like Forsyth County, Coffee County. Now, they used to have signs up that it was literally against the law for a black person to be out on a public street after sundown. Now it's just a practical safety matter. You don't want to be out on the streets. I mean, you go into Coffee County, there's Confederate flags at the county line, Confederate soldier in front of a statue in front of the courthouse. Believe me, this stuff still goes on. And now a lot of it is much more subtle. You don't have a lot of hanging lynchings now. Instead of it's kind of lynching by laptop where they remove thousands of legal black voters. It's a much more sophisticated system. It's still there, but you got to fight it. They get more sophisticated, so do we. You know, so that's how you got to fight it. Before, you used to have to worry about the hanging rope. Now you got to worry about whether they will just simply erase you from the voter rolls. That's what we show in the film. I don't want to make the film sound too grim. It's quite entertaining as I challenge some of these people. They throw me out of their houses. You know, if you've seen Greg Palast, I run around my fedora and go after bad guys. So it's a very entertaining film. Jamie Foxx said everyone should see it, so he's paid. So that's why if you're a fan of Jamie Foxx, he's the guy who's paying for this film to be shown free until New Year's Day. Again, go to vigilantemovie.com, or you'll see a link at gregpalast.com. By the way, after New Year's, you can't see it at all because it hasn't been released. You either see it for free or you don't see it at all until New Year's Day. And then after that, it's gone until the official release next year. So see you there, gregpalast.com.
Yeah, that's great. And again, I have a link in the description of this broadcast to gregpalast.com. Greg, we have a caller, and I want to see if they want to ask a question. I have a caller from area code 562. 208. If you'd like to ask a question, I'm going to be bringing you on the live. Just state your name and what city you're in, if you don't mind. 1 second. Okay, caller from 562-208, did you have a question? Hello?
Hello?
I think we lost him.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Oh.
Hi.
Did you have a question? Did you have a question for Greg or myself?
Thank you for asking. Hi, Greg. I've heard your presentation several times. I've listened to you on Sirius Radio, and I'm really impressed by the work that you're doing to help us protect our vote and know more about our vote. I guess what I would ask is, what do you see for the next voting cycle? The next major voting cycle will probably be the next major election. What are our chances?
Yes. Well, I'm very, very worried about 2024. Because you'll see in the film Vigilante, which I hope you get a chance to see. Again, it's free. Just go to vigilantemovie.com, vigilantemovie.com, or gregpalast.com. And as one voting official, Helen Butler, who's an African-American elections official in Georgia, she was removed by Governor Kemp under his new Jim Crow law, SB 202. She was removed because she refused to go along with overturning the election. If you remember, Donald Trump tried to get Governor Kemp to overturn the election. Now, Kemp, the governor, told Trump, I can't do it. I don't have the authority. By the way, the myth is that he stood up to Trump. No, he didn't stand up to Trump. He just said, I don't have the power to do it. But under the new law, he does. He can remove elections officials. Governor Kemp and Republican governors now have these new laws that allow them to remove elections officials and not certify the vote in counties. Now, what does that mean? It sounds, well, who cares about this certification? Here's the deal. If you suddenly say Fulton County, which is Atlanta, we're not going to certify Fulton County. Well, Trump would have won Georgia, and the Republicans would have taken the two Senate seats into the Democrats if you didn't certify most of Atlanta. So they can literally say your vote doesn't count under new laws that are being passed. This vigilante voter challenge is spreading to a dozen states from Georgia. New systems of purging voter rolls are happening, and there's a huge attack on the right to mail in your ballot, which during COVID, Democrats turned to mail-in ballots and Republicans turned away. So they're trying to eliminate mail-in ballots because Democrats win those, you know, and especially lower-income people who may have a couple jobs find it hard to take the day off to vote, especially if you're standing 5 hours in a line, as you do in Georgia. If you go to GregPalast.com, you'll see one film of mine where it's literally 2.5-hour line. I'm going along this line, hundreds of people waiting to vote. So they're trying to make it difficult for you to vote by mail or in person early. So all these tricks are coming. But the more tricks they have, the more you have to fight back. That's all. Expose them and fight back. So go to GregPalast.com, sign up, free newsletter, get the complete information whenever you need it, and take a look at the film Vigilante. It's entertaining. It's not just, you know, it's not just good for you. It's entertaining.
Thank you. I will do that.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it. And thank you for your compliment.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have another caller from area code 619, prefix 200. I'm bringing you on live.
Okay, San Diego. Hey, San Diego.
Yes, sir. Thank you very kindly. Walter, thank you for inviting me. My name is Elise Smith Cooper, long-time admirer of Walter Davis and all that he does as an activist to keep us connected and keep us apprised of what's going on. I would like very much to hear, or what I will do is I will appreciate receiving from Walter that last address that was given to us so that we could know more about the chicanery that's going on with the voting, the process of the the attempt to rob us so many of us have fought and died for. So I thank you
very
much.
Well, I got to tell you. Okay. Yes, if you go to gregpalast.com, that's GREGPALAST, gregpalast.com, and you'll get my continuing reports on vote suppression and what they're up to. And then, of course, you'll also there get a link to the film or go straight to vigilantemovie.com. It's only an hour long, and it really gives a real breakdown in a manner that's really entertaining. But I got to tell you, there's some very rough parts of it because we have to go into a very rough history to see how we got where we got. So there's a lot of gut-wrenching emotional parts, but there's a lot of humor in there and a lot of entertainment. The important thing is that you get the info on what they are up to. And when we expose them, we can beat them. We've done it before. They've had all these gimmicks. There was a gimmick they called cross-check. It eliminated almost a million people of color from the voter rolls. It was hardly covered in the press, but I exposed it in Rolling Stone, and we got it. And working with the ACLU, we got it, this racist Jim Crow voter purge program removes. We got it knocked out. And so, you know, we don't lose it. We don't lose all time. They come up with something new. We expose it and stop it. They come up with something new again. We expose that. We stop it. It will never end. I don't expect it to end. What I do expect is for us to keep our eyes open, be prepared.
GREGPALAST.com. Is that correct?
Yes. Greg,
how
last? Yeah, you're very I'll welcome. Ask. Thank you for calling, Ms. Cooper.
God bless you and continue in safety and protection from dangers seen and unseen as you continue this amazing activist activity.
Thank you.
Thank
well,
you.
You'll see in the film, actually one of the things you'll see in the film is that a woman with all these automatic weapons chases me out of her house. She was one of the vigilante vote challengers. Another vigilante vote challenger actually walks around with six guns, which are loaded. So we were a little bit nervous on those interviews, I got to tell you. But I do my best to stay safe and out of trouble. It doesn't always work, but I try. Thank you for your comments.
Certainly. Keep at it. God bless you.
I will. Thank you.
And thank you, Walter.
And just to let everybody know, there is a link in the description of the body of this broadcast that has a direct link to gregpalast.com, so you can go there and get more information and get put on the mailing list. Greg, I got a lot of people calling in, so I'm going to try to get to them. Please identify yourself by your first name and the city that you're in, if you don't mind. So I'm going to bring on the person at 619-518. 1 second. 619-518. Who is this?
That's me.
Who is that?
Who is me?
That's Craig.
You're
That's
in San
Craig.
Diego. Hey.
Ah, Mr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm doing
Did you
fine,
have any questions?
Sir. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Do you have any questions or comments?
Yes, I just have had a comment. I noticed that I was seeing Senator Warnock was on the morning show, CBS morning show with Gail, and he was talking about the voter suppression. He says that's his mission now, and he says he's been working on that for a long time. And yes. One of the comments that he made was the limited amount of time that the voters had to vote. I guess it was like he had
yes.
cut off the weekend, and what he did, he advocated that, and he got that opened back up. Because they were limited to vote on the weekend, you know? Can you comment on
yes.
that, sir?
Yeah, there's a huge drop. As I said, they went early voting, early in-person voting in the last runoff was 17 days. This time it was 7. 17 days to 7. Now, the problem was so that you end up with these massive long lines, only in Atlanta, in the African-American community, only in Atlanta, which is a progressive and black city, there were two-hour lines. Outside of Atlanta, it was only 10-minute lines. So they cut the number of days. Now, what Warnock was talking about with success was that working with the NAACP, he was able to bring a lawsuit. They were going to cut the early voting days to 6, and he added a day, 7. He was able to go to court 7. The reason why they cut it to 6, well, they wanted to make it as little as possible. But one of the reasons that they cut it, they said, well, you can't vote after a state holiday. The state holiday was in honor of the Confederacy. And a federal judge just said, no, you can't tell black people they can't vote to honor the Confederacy. Really, I'm not making this up. So Warnock was able to add one day, but one day ain't enough. 17 days was the original. And so there's still a
huge exactly what he mentioned.
And yes, and in fact, you don't have now in Georgia and Ohio and a lot of states that I worked in, the number one voting day for African Americans is Souls to the Poll Sunday, the Sunday before an election. They made Souls to the Poll Sunday voting illegal in Georgia. It's illegal to vote on Sunday. You cannot even take an absentee ballot and put it in a drop box. They seal them up and put them inside buildings. So they drop boxes, you know, for your absentee ballot used to be outside a government building. There's a camera on them. It's highly secure. Every absentee ballot, if you look at your absentee ballot, for example, I know that you're in San Diego. If you look at a California ballot, every single ballot has a unique barcode and QR code. No, your ballot is not private. It's every single ballot which is marked and specific to your name, if it's mail-in. So you can't commit fraud with it. But they simply lock these ballot boxes away so you can't vote on Sunday. You can't even use the ballot drop box on the Sunday before the election. All this to stop black voters from voting and urban voters from voting, and that means Democratic voters. So they're racist, but it's not so much that their racism is aimed at the color of your skin so much as the color of your vote. If you knock out black people, of course you're knocking out mostly Democrats, and they understand that. So Warnock is fighting. In fact, in my film Vigilante, you'll see Warnock. It's the first time I put Warnock on the Reverend Warnock. He's the minister, by the way, and still is. He still preaches on Sunday, even today. Minister Warnock, the senator, took over Martin Luther King's spot at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and I put him on camera back in 2014 before anyone had heard of him. And I also, by the way, was the first person to put Stacey Abrams on national TV. Because I thought that they had something important to say about voting. And, you know, but Stacey Abrams was unable to overcome the Jim Crow tactics. And Reverend Warnock, because of her difficulties, his campaign learned how to overcome it. And that's the whole thing. You can overcome these tactics, as we saw. But it was really, really close. Really close. In the Georgia election, which was kind of ridiculous given the different qualities of the candidates. So that it was even close is frightening.
I just got one other comment.
Sure.
I was a postmaster in California, and I had a Hispanic gentleman come up to me, and he told me that he worked for a white guy on a farm, and during the time when Trump was running for office, the gentleman told him that if he does not vote for Trump, he's going to fire him. So his that he worked for actually, you know, filled out his ballot, and he came in and asked me, he says, sir, how can I change and vote, you know, Democrat, you know? So I told him, I said, you got to go to the registrar's office and you got to change that from being a Republican to Democrat. And I just couldn't believe what he said. I was astounded. And these tactics are going on. It's going on everywhere.
Well, it's always terrifying for a worker's dependence on their employer. I think one of the things is that he has to go to I would definitely go to the there's two places to go, the NAACP, but that's Georgia. In California, the ACLU is very effective on this. Hector Viagra
Villagra. Hector Villagra is their voting, is the head of the ACLU Southern California. He should be informed of this, absolutely. And he'll take it to the FBI. The reason why I say call the ACLU is that if you call, you know, you don't want, this guy doesn't want his job endangered, so he has to remain anonymous. And the FBI needs to visit this, his employer, and say, this is a crime for which you go to jail for a minimum of 5 years. What his employer did is a felony crime in California. It's also a federal crime. And you get 5 years in California and another 5 to 10 years under federal charges. This is no joke, and it's got to be stopped. But understandably, the guy's going to be scared, so he should go to the ACLU. There's also a number, 866, Our Vote, O-U-R-V-O-T-E. If you call 866 Our Vote, you can get to a lawyer who works on voting issues. But in California, go to the ACLU of Southern California, and its president, Victor Villagra.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I really appreciate everybody calling in. We had one caller drop off, and I'll be bringing Gene and Elise back on shortly to, you know, make any other questions or comments. But this is really fascinating information, Greg.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's the important thing is for people to know what's going on. I'm not going to tell you to vote for. You can vote for, you know, in California, vote for whoever you want. Or if you're in Georgia, you want to vote for Herschel Walker over Warnock, that's fine too. I believe that everyone should be allowed to vote. And what I've found is that if they let people vote, they do a pretty good job of electing officials. It's when they stop people from voting that we have real, real trouble. And, you know, so again, you go to GregPalace.com, you'll see not only this election, but, you know, even Trump's election in 2016, he bitches about 2020, but in 2016, he only won Michigan by 10,000 votes, but 76,000 ballots were never counted in Detroit because the machines broke down. So 76,000 ballots were lost in Detroit. Now, who is voting? How many votes does Donald Trump have in Detroit? Like, out of 76,000, maybe 76, right? All I'm saying is that the games that they play have real serious consequences, real serious consequences. And that's why we have to fight for our vote and don't let anyone take it away from you. And if anyone – and it's, that's a horrific story about that employer, but someone's got to nail that guy.
So there's many other tactics, like gerrymandering, correct? Whereas
yep.
They're just trying to pick their voters and water down the votes of other people.
Yeah, so what they do is, for example, in Georgia, as we see, most people voted for Biden. They voted for Senator, the Democrat, John Ossoff. They voted for the Senator Warnock. They voted Democrats. Most Georgians are Democrats in their voting. But then they stop them from voting, and that's the problem, you know. Not that I'm for Democrats, I just want people to be allowed to vote, and that's why we have to stay alert. And in California, you've got big problems. Like if you want to vote in, it's a pretty much Democrat controlled state, and if you want to vote for Democrats, if you want to vote in the primaries, I know you're told that you can vote in a primary if you are not registered as a Democrat. That's not really true. So if you want to vote in the Democratic primary, you pretty much have to register as a Democrat, because the party establishment does not like the non-Democrats voting in their primary. So, you know, you've got it. So even California, you have to be very careful. Now, you talk about gerrymandering. What gerrymandering is, when politicians draw the line to their district so that they guarantee their reelection. So, again, you have Republicans. Like in Georgia, most people, I said, are Democrats, but nevertheless, the state legislature is overwhelmingly Republican. So how can that be? If most people are Democrats, how do you end up with a state legislature that's Republican? The answer is the way that they draw the line. It's called stacking and cracking. So they'll take some districts of Atlanta and they'll make it 90% black. And so all the black votes are kind of mushed into one single district. They let them have that one district.
but they removed black people from the surrounding four districts so the Republicans can win those. That's the games that they play. And it's racist. It's partisan. It's not democratic. And it's un-American, but that's how you end up with most state legislatures are Republicans, even though Democrats have a huge advantage in registration and part and public preference. Many more people are Democrats than Republicans, yet most state legislatures are Republican because of this gerrymandering. And if it weren't for gerrymandering, you would not have a Republican Congress now that's coming in. Most people voted for Democratic congressional candidates, overwhelmingly. And yet we're going to have a majority Republican Congress by a couple seats. That's not the people's choice. It's not whether I'm for or against Republicans. It's just that I believe that it's got to be the people's choice, not the politician's choice. And that's the problem of gerrymandering, where you draw your own districts.
Okay, I got someone raising their hand. Anonymous caller 1111111. Hold on.
Okay, Mr. One.
Okay, you're live now. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thanks for having this interview. It's really good and informative. Mr. Palat, in some
yes.
of your past writings, you've talked about oil and price gouging.
Yes.
I know this is
yes.
off topic, but since you were on, I wanted to hear your opinion on what's going on right now with oil and everything else, all the supply chain stuff and inflation stuff we're hearing about every day.
And what
yes.
is your name,
okay.
sir?
Okay, well, I do. Yeah, I mean, thank you for bringing that up. And by the way, once again, it comes down to voting because you have to pick the guys you agree with. Well, one thing that Joe Biden's finally done, it was very belated, but he's finally allowing oil. We'll get about 1 million barrels a day from Venezuela now. And that was one of the reasons why why the price of gasoline at the pump has dropped is that Biden finally is beginning to reverse Trump's attack on Venezuela, which has the largest reserves of oil in the world, even bigger than Saudi Arabia. Venezuela never attacked anyone, unlike Russia. And yet we had an embargo on Venezuelan oil, but not an embargo on Russian oil. Believe it or not, in the middle of Russia's invasion, we're still getting oil from Russia. But clearly, the invasion of Ukraine caused the price of oil to go through the roof, and oil and gas and energy represent about a third of our bill, of our living costs. When I say a third, because when you buy, for example, grain, when you buy a loaf of bread, the grain has been dried using natural gas. So in your, you know, fertilizer is made from, as a byproduct of the energy process of energy production. So food is going through the roof because of energy, and transporting food because of energy. So the energy price is at the core of our inflation problem. And it's coming down because Biden's finally acting to allow us to get that oil from Venezuela, where we had an embargo. It's crazy. And so that's a good sign. But still, the inflation we have is caused by the rising cost of energy and its related rising cost of food. And the third thing is we have a supply shortage from China. And why do we have a supply shortage from China? Why are we so dependent on China? Because you have corporations which want cheap, controlled, basically enslaved labor, you know, and they want that cheap. But now China is belligerent, violent, and they had these massive COVID shutdowns, which they're finally reversing, but we couldn't get chips, we couldn't get supplies from China. We've become overly, overly dependent on China's cheap labor. And so the result has been, with the invasion of Ukraine, a massive increase in costs, the disruption of the supply chain, and I think very frankly, idiotically, and don't forget, I actually, my degree is in economics, so I know about this stuff. The Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates. Well, that's insane, frankly, in my opinion, as an economist, because it's not that people have too much money, which is why we have inflation. I don't feel like I have too much money. That's not what's called a demand pull invasion. It's a supply push. It's we have these supply problems, and unless those are fixed, we can't beat inflation. Like I say, Biden did one good move, reversing Trump's complete embargo on Venezuela, but we need more. We need to have better relations with Venezuela. There's no reason not to. You know, Trump was vicious and insane on Venezuela. No reason to repeat his policies. And we can bring down if we bring down the price of oil further, we'll bring down the price of everything. And that's key. And if we reduce our dependence on China, we won't have these supply disruptions, which shoot the costs of things like cars to the roof. And that's vital. We have to once again rebuild an industrial America, and we can do it.
One thing I noticed is that it seemed like as soon as President Biden came in the office, prices went up on things. Do you think that there is a concerted effort among the ruling class to destroy his presidency economically by raising the prices artificially as well?
Well, again, the big price jump, of course, was in February with the invasion of Ukraine. And that cut off supplies of Russia is the biggest exporter of energy in the world. And so not Saudi Arabia, but Russia, gas, coal, oil. And once we cut off the world's biggest exporter of energy, you're going to see the prices go through the roof. So I blame that mostly on Mr. Putin and his tanks. But of course, they're, you know, with Biden, they're not in love with Biden. So they figure he has been unable to control corporate America's, you know, basically seizing on this opportunity like vultures. They see that there's a squeeze in the economy, so they're raising prices through the roof. You know, this is their opportunity to raise prices insanely. I mean, so the auto companies, adding the oil companies, there should have been a windfall profits tax on the oil companies because they're making money off war. They're war profiteers. The invasion of Ukraine has allowed Exxon and Chevron and Shell to record massive, massive record profits. You have to understand, in Britain, they're charging the oil companies a 25% windfall tax. And that's a conservative government. So why aren't we charging a windfall profits tax? The answer is, I think Biden has said he would like to, but he doesn't have Republican votes to carry it off. But we need a windfall profits tax because these guys if an oil company makes money because it found oil and spent a lot of money finding oil and then sold it to us, okay, they got to cover their costs. But they're not finding more oil. They're just taking advantage of a war. So, you know, the more people bleed, the more money they make. And that's sickening, and we should tax that away just like they do in Britain and in other nations. That should not be – you shouldn't be allowed to profit off the murder of innocent people. That's what they're doing.
So American people tend to believe that we have this bastion of democracy, that we are the leaders in the entire world for democracy. It doesn't seem like that's true.
No. In fact, you know, in England, after you have an election, it's simple, and you do it on pieces of paper, no fancy machines. And they go into school gym, and everyone's watching from all parties, and they open the piece of paper, and they announce each vote, and they total them up. That's democracy. In Switzerland, where my wife is from, all the votes are public, and they even have voting in committees, and, you know, and they get together and have town meetings. It's real democracy. And, I don't always like the results of all these elections, but, you know, when I'm in these other nations like France or England, Switzerland, and Venezuela, even, there's no issues about counting all the votes. That's not even a question. And in America, we don't count all the votes. We don't let everyone vote. We allow these crazy vigilante challenges. We allow purges of voter rolls. We allow all kinds of gimmicks, sealing up, you know, prohibiting toll to the poll Sunday. Somehow in America, we decided that if you can get away with stopping someone else from voting, that that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. We need a commitment that every citizen should be allowed to vote and helped to vote instead of blocking voters and considering them potential fraudsters and criminals. We should be helping people voting. That's what mail-in balloting did. And unless the Democrats get wise and start defending the mail-in ballot, they're going to start losing elections again.
So it's amazing to me that it's a crime in some places just to give people water while they're waiting in that two-hour line to vote. That is amazing.
Yes. So, you know, in Georgia, you know, famously, one of the stories they broke was that the new law prohibits you from giving someone a glass of water or a slice of pizza. And, you know, it was raining on election day, this last election day on the runoff. It was raining. And it was against the law to hand someone an umbrella. So you got schools out. You had mothers with their little kids waiting 2 hours in line in the rain. If you gave the kid a box of juice while they're waiting in line or gave mom an umbrella, you'd go to prison for 5 years. I can't make that up. Welcome to America. But the biggest problem is, why was there a two-hour line in the first place? Again, because they cut the number of hours for voting, so people were forced into these long lines. You know, it's that simple. So anyway, I do hope I got to get going, but I got to tell you right now that if you want to get the info, go to gregpalast.com, GREGPALAST.com, and you can get a link to my movie or go straight to the movie free. There is a request if you want to make a donation, but you don't have to. I'm happy just for you to see the film. VigilanteMovie.com. Let your friends know. It's only available New Year's Day. It's free. But after that, it's not. Even if you pay for it, you can't get it. So catch it now. You'll enjoy yourself. You'll be glad you did, and you're going to pass that link around. Thank you, Walter. What a terrific show. I'm so honored to speak with you and your guests today. Really.
And so am I. And please stay on, you callers. We'll continue a discussion after Greg peels off here. But, Greg, I'm going to be widely distributing your information about your movie and your website, throughout my social media. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come aboard to talk to us.
Anytime, Walter. Your show is really informative, and I especially like the chance to, get back into San Diego where my parents were living. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, sir. Okay, so the rest of you, I'm bringing you all on live, and we can have a discussion if you'd like. Were there any questions or comments? Jean, Elise, Craig?
I would like to hear the name. This is Elise. I would like to hear the name of the film again, please, because I would like to share that with people.
Okay, the name of the movie is VigilanteMovie.com. That's where you get it, Vigilante Movie. And
I,
you can also
I want to make,
go on.
I need you to spell Vigilante for me. I'm not sure I'm spelling it right.
Okay, VigilanteMovie.
Ah, I got it right. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate this. This is so educational as always, Walter. Appreciate you stepping out and allowing us to be able to gain this information and share it with others. Thank
yes.
you very much.
And again, just go to gregpalast.com, and then there's links to the movie and everything right there as well, and to all of his other books and videos that he's produced. He's got a long list of great movies. I believe one of them is America, the Greatest Democracy Money Can Buy. That's one of his movies there, and a lot of great information. You can get on his newsletter mailing list as well.
Thank you.
Any of the rest of you, Craig, anyone else have any comments or questions? Jean?
No, it was very nice and informative to hear from Mr. Palast. I'm a bit familiar with his what he does, and so it's great that he comes on to continue to bring that message out to everyone about protecting us.
Yeah, it's really a fight. When we see what's happening in Georgia and around the country, even here in California, we're seeing voter suppression. I mean, they're trying to take our right to vote. I believe that people who are felons should be allowed to vote. I mean, because if you look at people within the Revolutionary War in this country, they were being locked up. They were felons. They were people who were locked up, and yet imagine them not having a voice to be able to fight back or to be able to vote. I don't think there should be any reason to take anybody's right to vote away unless it's something like mental illness. You know, but then we'd have to be careful in terms of who determines that they're mentally ill. You know, and at one time, you know, police officers could determine that you're mentally ill, which, you know, that had to be stopped because they were taking people that were witnesses against them and said, okay, well, they're mentally ill. So there's lots of little games that can be played in terms of taking away our right to vote, and I'm just trying to encourage people to fight back. Don't, you know, and start by educating yourself so that you have the factual information to fight back with.
Absolutely.
There was another comment I just thought of, you know, I wish I could have thought of it earlier, is as far as a felon, you know, what felons have the right to vote? I know they had the controversy that I think was going on in Florida where they were arresting people that were voting like maybe 3 years ago, and then they found out that they were felons and they were arresting them. I wish you could have commented on that.
Well, they're actually doing that. They did that this time as well. You know, they arrested people because the Florida voters passed a law that said that they wanted people to be able to vote even though they had been felons. But then immediately the conservative powers within Florida came back and they nullified that because they challenged it. So suddenly people were then breaking the law by voting as felons, even though the voters had said it was going to be legal. But because that thing was challenged, the law was challenged, then that meant that people were not informed that there was a challenge to the law. There was an appeal to that law, and people were being arrested at the polling places in Florida. So that's occurring during this last midterm. Someone's got a lot of noise background.
Can I add something?
Go ahead.
And the situation in Florida, they added a provision where the person had to have had all of their fees paid, like any fees that they incurred through court cases or, you know, whatever, you know, what led up to them being considered a felon. Once they put that law in to change it, they did add that provision in there. So then we had the brother who went and voted, and they said he still had fees. So they were able to send the police there, arrest the guy, get that in the newspapers as considered to be voter fraud because, you know, the idea is this person is committing fraud, not the details of this person had fees that were unpaid, therefore they weren't allowed to vote. But they were able to kind of sell the story of voter fraud in Florida. This is, what's his name, DeSantis or whatever. This is a part of his little myth-making down there in Florida. But, yeah, that, great point. I wish I had gotten on earlier with you guys. I came on late and asked the last question.
Okay, no worries. We're going to be having.
What fees? What was the fees that?
What were the fees? Fees you've accumulated, like court cost fees, whatever you've done to be considered a felon, to where you would have some type of deficit with the local, government. That's kind of how it played out. And he was able to weaponize it in that way. And then, like, he created a whole voter fraud task force. It's a mess. Washington Post covered it. That's where I read most of it. I think there's some in the LA Times about it. I'll check, though, before you guys get off the call.
Yeah, it's a little crazy because the people who were charged, about 20 people in Florida, they voted because they were approved by the state to vote. They received cards to vote. That was the only reason they did so. And it almost feels like the governor statement, you know, to make this claim about voter fraud, but I don't think that all of those cases are going to go through, because they were basically given the right to vote. They were given the go ahead to vote by giving voter registration cards. So then he comes along later.
Walter, my question, though, is, you know, why is it taking so long? You know, all of a sudden we got rid of these statues. I remember I was in Savannah, Georgia. If you go downtown Savannah, Georgia, there's a whole bunch of statues. I never even, you know, even come to mind of why they got all these damn statues there. You know, and why is it taking so long for us to... And we're still not really getting things done with, like, this voter suppression and all these statues all over. Why has it taken so long? It's 2022. You know, it seems like we can't do anything. You know, it seems like
we
don't have any power.
Well, we can do things, and we have a lot of power, but we have to be united in our power. We got to be focused on our power, and we've got to be focused on factual things. So, for example, we have this 1776 movement. I'm sure you guys have seen people wear these T-shirts with 1776 on it. And basically what that means is you do not have the right to know the truth about history. You will accept what we told you the truth was, what these racist people developed in the 1930s and the 1800s in terms of versions of history. You will accept that, and there will not be any more studies about what really happened historically in America. So people are dumbed down. People are feeling frustrated. People feel that they just have to work and they don't have time for anything else. But one of the things that keeps you on the hamster wheel, that keeps you running, is politics. So we have to get involved. We have to get to fight back. There is no choice to just sit on the fence and not do anything. So the first thing is to become educated, to understand things like, what is the New Deal? You know, what is the Homestead Act? The Homestead Act gave 1.5 million white people 360 acres of land for literally nothing. And so these are the people that own the skyscrapers and stuff now. They have a big head start on the rest of us. I just saw a report that said the average worth of a black family here in America was something like $17,000, whereas it was $188,000. For the average white family. So there's an economic disparity. There's a control of the media. So I have a very hard time getting support for my shows. I have to finance them out of my own pocket. You know, I ask people to utilize my financial services, to utilize my boot import company. I don't ask for donations, but I just ask for that. I mean, I have to pay for, you know, the radio. I got a lot of fees that I pay every single month just to maintain my media apparatus. Even when I had cancer, I still continued to pay for these things when I wasn't using them. But we don't support our businesses. We don't support people that are standing up. So there's many different reasons why it's taking a long time, and a lot of it has to deal with distraction. People are distracted from what the real prize is. Like right now, it's so hard to get things done. Everybody's running around spending money that they don't have on Christmas. And these companies make 80% of their profits at this time of the year, 80%. This is why they promote this for people to get involved and spend your money and go traveling. All these people getting stuck in these snowstorms now that are evolving in Chicago and other areas. It's just insanity. So instead of spending our treasures on things that are going to benefit us, we spend money on distractions. And they have us, I mean, because they got the smell of the gingerbread, you know, the turkey, the evergreen tree. All of those things deal with the senses. And I see my granddaughter right now who is getting saturated into that. And so that then hooks you up to start believing in these things that don't really exist. And so by not having clarity, by not having education, and not being aware of these tactics and the history of brutality against people of color and people that are poor, then we can't get out of the miasma. So the first part of it has to do with educating ourselves and then supporting outlets like mine and like Greg Palast, Democracy Now. I watch that every single day. I mean, they humanize Palestinians, for example. You never hear Palestinians' name or Iraqis' names when they get killed at the marketplace. on the lamestream media, if you even hear about it. But they humanize people. And so we have to look at the situation we have now with all these people coming to the border. Why is it that we have so many people leaving their television sets, leaving the cemeteries, leaving their homes, leaving their cars, leaving their jobs, leaving their bank accounts, everything in these South American and other countries, and coming to America in such large numbers? So we're not addressing the issues. It's the United States government. It is businesses that are creating a hellish condition in those countries where people are not immigrating. They're fleeing here. So we deal with those issues. If we stop the corruption, we stop the gang fighting, we stop the corrupt governments that are getting our tax dollars. We're supporting them with our tax dollars, and we're training their police and soldiers to kill their own people. We have a school down there called the College of Americas, and they're training their people, their military, to kill their own people. So this is why we have this big influx of people at the border. So we have an antiquated immigration system. And so you're telling people that are making $4 a day to pay thousands of dollars in fees. It just can't happen. We have to start educating ourselves and standing up. I've got a caller from 858-603. I'm going to make you live now. Did you have questions or comments? Stand by. 858-603,
yes.
Who are you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Walter, John Falke.
Hi, John.
How are you, Walter? John Falke. Is Greg still on the line?
Greg is actually
Greg
departed.
Okay, but you're taking questions yourself then, are you?
I am.
Yeah. One of the problems that I see, and we ran across it last week, is that there are so many tribes here that are trying to do good by themselves, and their numbers don't amount to the strength that congressmen and others even pay attention to them. It's coming together intersectionally that will help us. We spent a lot of time trying to bring the environmentalists together with the peaceniks as well as social justice people, and we succeeded. We had about 10 different types of groups, and some from the church, First Unitarian Church, getting together for an hour before a presentation by Medea Benjamin on the war in Ukraine. It was about 85 people in the church and 15 online in Zoom, about 100 people. It could have been thousands, but the weather was inclement and it almost rained that day, so it was very cold. And a lot of people didn't come because of the weather, but we made a very serious attempt to bring different people together who don't normally work together to protest against things like voter suppression and the types of things that you were just discussing. If we amass the numbers like we have in the past at different times during the civil rights movement and other times, we need to do that again, get people motivated to work with each other to make the changes at election time and other times in between elections, to get these people to respond. You and I, by ourselves, can't do it. And there were people that began with just a book signing event there. It was going to be about 50 people in a room just to buy a book. I objected to that. I said, we haven't had a group get together like this since before the pandemic. And three of us worked hard. I worked within the church mostly, and others would do it outward. But we would have had a larger number if the weather wasn't better. But there was a diversity of people that came, and they came early, 6 to 7, to network, you know, with tables outside in the patio. You've been there, Walter. And they got to know each other a little bit. Most of them were young people. And these are the people that are going to make the changes, the people of my age and your age. It's a little beyond us, I think. But they're very, very critical. And some people, the older people, object to that. They have socialist in their name. And, of course, the media and right-wing have blasphemed anybody with socialist on their name, like Bernie Sanders, a democratic socialist. So he's a communist. You know, he's like the Soviet Union. Soviet Union didn't have real socialism. They had a dictatorial form of it, you know, which really killed people rather than make them conform or change. Anyway, the point is we need amongst us people like yourself are broadcasting out there to get people to change, and we need them to work together. I wish that this happened more frequently than it does now. Thank you, Walt.
Well, I'm back in the saddle again, John. I've recovered from my cancer, and so I'm mounting a big push to reveal many things. My next stories are going to involve over 500 missing Native American women in the Dakotas and Missouri and those kind of areas.
That's important. Very good, Walter.
Yeah. So we're going to be bringing a lot of different diversified people in. I've developed very sophisticated websites to keep track of information. We are working to get people out of prison, which we were successful in getting over 700 people out of prison in Louisiana in 2019. We won a Supreme Court case.
Good.
So we have many success stories, even with our small numbers. Now, just imagine the power we could have if we just stop talking and start doing.
Yes, keep me on your mailing list of when the programs are coming up so I can help publicize that for you.
And I have a caller from area code 205, prefix 602. I'm going to bring you on live now. Did you have any questions or comments? 205-602. Hello? Caller from area code 205, which is Birmingham, I believe. 602?
Should I hang up, Walter? I'm
oh, no, no, no. Stay on. We have a lot of callers on. You're not the only one. We can just have
okay.
a discussion. I got 32 more minutes. Caller from 205-602, did you want to participate? Okay.
No, I just
you're
came on.
Okay. Yes. Did you have any questions or comments, sir?
I do not. I was just got able to get on, so I was just listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine.
All right, thanks.
So what I'm requesting is that those of you that are on this right now, please take the link to this radio broadcast and share it on your social media. It is blogtalkradio.com/progress-in-the-world. That's the address to this particular channel. And then you'll be able to see the interview and share it on social media. And start to have discussions. Start to educate yourself. Get more involved in our upcoming broadcast. As I mentioned before, we're going to be working with the Native American, various Native American tribes. I'm also going to be doing the interview with your friend, John, from Vietnam, Lee Lai. And so
Haysbert.
We're going to be...
Lee Haysbert, yes.
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 We're
going to
be... Right. We'll be telling her story about, you know, how she was mistreated by American forces as well as the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese and her endeavors to build kindergartens now in Vietnam. So this is not just a local battle. This is a worldwide battle. And if you look at the history, if you look at the history of the powers that be, this is a global thing that is happening. We're raping the global South and destroying people's lives in the global South and taking the riches from the global South into the North. And so this is why we have the immigration problem, and we need to assuage that. We need to have economic justice. Some people get simply overwhelmed by the number of fights that we have to get involved in. And I just simplify it for myself. It's just good against evil. And there's a lot of good people out here, and a lot of very bad people just as well. I have a caller from area code 760-953. I'm going to bring you on live. If you have any comments or questions, caller from 760-953, you're live now.
Hello.
Did you have questions? Hello.
Hi. My name is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Did you have questions or comments?
I just have a comment. I was curious to listen to your podcast, and that's all I'm really doing is just sitting here interested in what you have to say and what you're speaking about.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm glad to have you aboard here. Elise, John, Jean, did you guys have any other questions or comments? We've got 29 minutes left.
Well, I'm interested in – this is Elise. I'm interested in sharing your contact information with the listservs of people that I participate with who are like-minded. So I would like to have you repeat, if you don't mind, the Blog Talk Radio address that you were just mentioning so that I can share it. And people, and these are people that are interested in being well-educated.
Okay. Once again, the link is www.blogtalkradio.com/progress-in-the-world.
Wait a minute. I've got it wrong. So let me get go back. www.blogtalkradio.com.
Yes. /.
Okay.
Progress in the world.
Progress in the world.
Yes. And you can also go to my radio show website, progressintheworld.com. And I also have walterdavisglobalbroadcasting.com. So there's a number of ways to get to it. Progressintheworld.com. WalterDavisGlobalBroadcasting.com. And so what I would request of all of you to support me, again, I have fees to maintain, you know, my broadcast. If you're considering ever getting, like, you know, I have exotic Western wear at DNABoots.com. I'm doing animations for small companies that are 3D and high quality. I also have financial services. So if you need a will, if you need a trust, those are the things that my attorneys can do for you. We have living benefits. We can eliminate debt. If you have any type of unsecured debt, we can eliminate that in simply 2 days with our debt validation service. But this is a show in which we have been interviewing Greg Palace. He's a great man. I want to encourage everyone to visit gregpalace.com. Again, the links of everything I've just described, will be included within the description of this radio broadcast. So if you don't have something to write down, Walter Davis Global Broadcasting or gregpalace.com, within the description of this broadcast, we're going to have links to all of those things provided, so it's very convenient for you. And it's blogtalkradio.com/ Progress in the World. We had great information provided by Greg Palace in terms of the voter suppression in Georgia. We talked about also the voter suppression efforts in Florida, and these things exist throughout the United States. So it is incumbent upon all of us to become educated in the processes that are occurring. We got the 2024 election coming up. I would highly encourage everyone to watch Democracy Now. You can go to democracynow.org, democracynow.org, in order to get great news stories every single day. I watch the 8 o'clock show on Link TV. And again, Link TV has a lot of great information as well. So if you go to linktv.org, you'll be able to learn a lot about what's happening within the community and citizen-driven efforts. There's also freespeech.org, I believe it is, .org. I got to look that up. But Free Speech TV is also another outlet to get information other than the lamestream media to become better informed. So we've looked at how voter suppression is occurring in Georgia, whereas they are removing the remote voting stations. They're requiring people to have these outrageous IDs. So, for example, if you are a student in Georgia and you don't have a Georgia ID, it may be very hard for you to vote, for example, if you're going to a university there. Or the way that they've removed polling places in areas inhabited by people of color and poor people to make it very difficult. These people don't have a way of getting in to the central voting locations. They don't have transportation. And so this is occurring throughout the United States. There's a concerted effort to take away our ability to vote. And there are parallels to this that I can see. There's the same things occurred in Nazi Germany, for example. And that may sound very dramatic. However, we are in a dramatic time. People don't understand that our freedom is at stake. All the things that we've won the progress that we've made in the 1960s, the things that we got developed in the 1950s, mm-hmm. all of these things are at risk right now. And again, with me growing up in Birmingham and seeing how the police were machine gunning us, and the fire department was blowing up our homes and our churches. That happened in my lifetime. It was in my lifetime that we had black and white water fountains, and there were different restrooms that you could go to if you were a person of color. Even at the airport and the train station and the bus station, there were separate waiting areas for people of color. And I'm 65 years old, and so there are forces out there that want to return. This is what they mean by make America great again. So we have to stop that from occurring. We've got to stop the erosion of our rights. You hear people talk about being pro-police, pro-law enforcement, where it's pro and law enforcement for everybody else, not for the people that attacked our Capitol on the 6th mm-hmm. of January, not for a president like Donald Trump who took home classified material to his house, who has a long history of crimes, yet you don't see them standing up for law enforcement in this case. What about the police officers killed during the January 6th attack? You don't see these people saying they're pro-law enforcement for that. So it's hypocrisy. We have people that are hypocrites that want to apply the law to you, but not to themselves. And we're talking about a dictatorship here. There's a movement towards a dictatorship, and that's real. And we see that in terms of our votes being suppressed. Any comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to add the story I was telling earlier about Florida and voting. You can find it in the Miami Herald, and ABC News also covers it. All great points by Walter. I agree 100%. We're entering a new period of organizing and people understanding some of this evil has to be pushed back against. And you can't get discouraged because there's also victories happening. The situation of ex-felons being able to vote in Florida, that's due to activism. That's due to people pushing to make that happen. We saw the young kids at Amazon win a union fight against the mightiest company in the world. Those kids won that fight. We saw this with the railroad fight workers now. They're having their fight. We saw in 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, we saw young students get out there and fight against police brutality with the whole, Black Lives Matter movement. And again, the participants are not the organization. So if you want to criticize an organization, go ahead. That has nothing to do with young students putting their lives at risk because they saw something wrong. And those kids are still working and organizing to this day. And I'll end there.
Well, that's perfect. And yeah, we do need to highlight our victories. We do have many victories, like I said, with Americans, United International. We got over 733 people out of prison in Louisiana, and we stopped them from having less than unanimous juries in both Louisiana and Oregon. So Louisiana and Oklahoma are the biggest incarceration states in the entire world, not just this country, but in the entire world. An American citizen is arrested every 38 seconds. So we call this a bastion of freedom, yet we have American people being arrested every 38 seconds for drugs. That's just the drugs. We have epidemic killings. We have kids getting killed in our school systems, yet we're unable to pass comprehensive gun laws, which is ridiculous, that we're going to allow people to have assault weapons. Why do people need assault weapons on the street? Why do we have people carrying assault weapons in places like Arizona inside of the Walmart and going to Denny's restaurants with machine guns? So we have these ridiculous things that are occurring, and a lot of it is because people are asleep at the switch. But now we have the internet. We have broadcasts like this. Those of you on here, you should consider getting your own shows, and I'll be training people for free, showing you how do you get people to listen to your show? How do you run a show? How do you start one? So I'm here to help activists learn how to use blogging to consolidate information. When I put out factual things, I can always refer back to many different references, and those are stored on my blog. And I've been blogging since 1998. So if you go to my website, theprogressivethinkers.org, you'll see that my very first entry on my blog was 1998, and I've got full featured films on that blog. You can actually put four-hour films and longer onto these blogs, and you'll be able to see a lot of information on there about what we've been discussing. Become familiar with things like the New Deal. This is the thing that the oligarchs are trying to destroy right now, and the last bastion of that is Social Security. They have also launched a very intense campaign against communists and socialists. Well, ask one of them what the difference is between a communist and a socialist. They will not be able to tell you. It is the American Communist and Socialist Party that are responsible for child labor laws, the 40-hour work week, the five-day work week, unemployment insurance, Social Security. All of those things came out of the American Communist and Socialist Party. And so socialists are people that are more focused on society. Communists are more focused on the community itself. They don't allow things like people to be starving on the street. That's not allowed. Or people not having shelter. Those are things that are not allowed. So what's so much better about capitalism? Well, we have people like the CEO of it at Exxon making $100,000 per day, yet you're paying $6 a gallon for gas at the pump. And this one person is making $100,000 per day. That's just that one company. The CEO of Walmart makes $1,700 an hour, yet they balk at giving a living wage to people that are struggling to make ends meet in this country. We have a minimum wage. Why not a maximum wage like they have in places like Mondragon in Spain, which means that a CEO cannot make more than 20 times more than the lowest paid person in that company? Why can't we have things like that here? Why is it fair that one person is making $5, $6, $7, $10 an hour, yet another person in the same company is making $100,000 a day? And we're all paying for this. And so they're taking this funding, and they're funding candidates that are going to further limit our ability to vote. And there is an active campaign to take away our right to vote, which we see very clearly in Georgia and other states. Any other comments?
Yeah, that's probably what kept Stacey Adams from winning the governorship two times ago. Now he's really instituted, you know, the camp there in Georgia. It was a bit more difficult this time. But that get out the vote effort, it really helped get the senatorial race both times for our candidate. So we need to keep doing those things to fight the voter suppression. Did he give any logical things that each of us can do, Walter?
Well, like I said, first of all, become aware. We have a lot of videos on YouTube on these topics. So look at what's happening all over the country. Look at voter suppression. Just go to YouTube and put in voter suppression. Go to democracynow.org and look at voter suppression. Look at the things that Ralph Nader is talking about, especially on Democracy Now. Look at the economic things that are happening in Democracy in the Workplace. That's another wonderful site that you can look at in terms of what's happening. So there's a plethora of information available for people to study and to become knowledgeable on these various topics. So the first thing is to become knowledgeable and then to spread that knowledge to your family, friends, and constituents, and to motivate each other to take definitive actions. Look at the things that have been successful in the past, because those things are applicable now. One of the most fantastic stories that I have recently become aware of is how the Scandinavians were able to join together to stop the Nazis during World War II peacefully. And I had no idea that the Scandinavian people had been so successful in thwarting the things that the Nazis did by using nonviolent techniques. So look at that. Another thing that I would encourage people to look at is how to use nonviolent communication. We do not study nonviolent communication in our school system. And so this is one of the ways that we can assuage some of the school shootings and also better our relationships by becoming more familiar with the technique of nonviolent communication. So there's a couple of books that you can pick up on Amazon on that, and learning to speak the language of compassion to one another, as opposed to rationalization, justification, and minimization, which is the corner are the cornerstones of dysfunctional relationships. Is that helpful, John?
Very good. Yes, there's a group that's doing this internationally that's very good that I subscribe to. It's called Nonviolent Peace Force. Do you know of it? Out of the Midwest, Minnesota, I think it's a very good group. They go in unarmed to the areas that are at war and try to bring them together successfully. It's a very good group.
Well, I was trained by the San Diego Nonviolent Peace Force. I'm a trained facilitator, so I train other people in nonviolence and in nonviolent communication. So there's an active chapter in San Diego called San Diego Nonviolent Peace Force that you can join, and there is a national website for that as well.
They're meeting. It's a very good group.
Yeah, so that's where I got my training with the San Diego Nonviolent Peace Force. So that is a very important skill set to have to be able to communicate with one another nonviolently. And this is one of the reasons why we have such a violent culture, is that we don't know that. We don't get taught that in our school system. We get taught to rationalize and to justify and to minimize things, as opposed to being able to speak the language of compassion to one another. How about the rest of you? Any other comments or questions?
We go into areas that are different than ours, you know, that are on the right rather than the left. We need to be able to ask them questions and get to where we can talk to them in a civil manner. Not so easy, but nonviolent communication does pay off there.
One of the questions I have is, why don't we have a parliamentary type of government? Meaning, why do we just have to have a two-party system? I mean, this is why they get away with so much, right? What if we looked at the fact that the Green Party, for example, got 3% of the vote, and then we say, okay, 3% then of the Senate seats or what have you should be filled by Green Party members? Then we would have a parliamentary type of government. What do you guys think about something like that?
It's very important to try to allow that, particularly in the congressional districts. We should have multi-member districts where you vote for more than one, you know, so that the small parties have a chance. Right now, it's really dominant two parties in whatever district we're talking about congressionally. That needs to change.
Agreed. I think it's a perfect example of a good solution. And again, the people who benefit from it being this way, these are the ones who come up with different provisions and, you know, signature counts and all the other different reasons why you should not vote for a third party. So it's in their interest to continue in the same way. But like you said, that's the perfect example of a solution.
It's going to take enough of us to get together to affect those changes. So we've got to learn to work with each other a little bit better. Nonviolently, of course.
And I think I'll do that. I'll start doing some more shows with San Diego Nonviolent Peace Force as well as other peace forces throughout the United States in terms of educating people on how to communicate nonviolently. There's also voter ranking. In other words, you vote for this one person that you think should be the best candidate for the office, but then this is my number two pick, my number three pick. And in that way, by voter ranking, it is another way of ensuring that everybody's voices is heard. Are you guys familiar with voter ranking?
Yes, several states are using that right now in a number of cities, Walter.
So that's something that should be implemented wider. And again, this is a part of the education process. And I will endeavor to continue to do interviews with people that can bring these types of things to the forefront. And I'll continue to try to be a catalyst and a unifier with my various websites and teaching people how to utilize technology. Some of you may know that I've trained over 400 people in radio and television production. And a lot of those were young kids. People laughed at me when I had 7- and 8-year-old kids on the camera on my show at Cox Communication. Many of them are now running film festivals, and many of them are now completing film school, and they got their start with me at Cox Communications and Time Warner in San Diego. So don't underestimate the power of young people and educating them and having conversations. The rest of you guys agree with that?
Yes, that's a good point. You got me behind the camera a couple of times, Walter. That's a good experience for them, particularly the young ones. I remember that. It's about 10 years ago. When was that, Walter? About 10 years ago.
That lasted from 2008 up until 2013. But my first broadcast channel, I purchased my first channel in 2004. So I was streaming long before people knew what streaming was. And I was the first person to stream a live cable show from Cox Communications and Time Warner. So we broke precedents in many different ways. And that's what we have to continue to do to fight for our freedom. You know, I served this country for 25 years in the U.S. Navy, and I didn't fight for this country to see our rights being eroded away by these greedy and unjust people that are working against us. Another issue is that we have is the court system. Look at our court system. I just voted recently, and I had no idea of the record of these judges that I was supposed to vote for. So we need judicial oversight. This is why so many people are being convicted. Their success rate is determined by how many people they successfully put away in prison. It shouldn't be that way. It should be how much justice is being dispensed, not a conviction rate. A lot of these judges, you have no idea how many women, how many black people, how many Latino people, how many white people, how many white males were convicted in their court system. So that data needs to be made available to the public. We need to demand transparency within our judicial system. We just saw what happened in the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade being treated the way that it was. Now we have many other things on the ballot which may, in fact, jeopardize our freedom. So we have to push for judicial oversight and become much more aware of what's happening within our judicial system. Right now, they're eroding our Social Security funding by pulling that funding out and putting it into the foster care system, which is simply developing more and more dysfunctional people that are coming out here with teen pregnancies and drug use and a revolving door into the prison system. Some people are lucky enough to get through that system and be effective adults, but there's a lot of damage occurring to people, and they're draining our Social Security with the judges getting a paycheck, the county getting a paycheck, the agencies getting a paycheck, and the foster parents getting a paycheck. And the more drugs these kids are given, the more money they get. I went through the foster care training to become a foster parent. I just couldn't do it because they were going to force me to give these kids psychotropics. And my granddaughter is 6 months old. They're giving six-month-old babies drugs for antidepression and anxiety. How do you determine if an infant? How do you determine if an infant has anxiety? You know how they do it? With play therapy. They roll a ball to the kid, and whether the kid throws the ball back or holds on to it can determine a mental diagnosis. So we're in trouble. Our mental health system is in trouble. They just dispense medications, and we have 22 veterans committing suicide every single day. Now, if I was a VA, I wouldn't necessarily determine that's a good program if I was losing that many people.
Right. You know, when my son was very early in elementary education, they wanted to put him on attention deficit disorder drugs. We rejected that. Parents have to be alert to what they're proposing like that and reject it. You know? And many better
exactly.
teaching methods. Dealing with children rather than drugs.
If you go to my website, theprogressivethinkers.org, there is a movie on there called The Hidden Enemy, and that shows how the drug manufacturers have colluded together to make a $400 billion industry. How is it that you have an antidepressant medication that, on the side of it that says this drug might make you commit suicide? How is that logical? I just don't understand that.
Terrible. Yeah, the whole drug industry is set up to keep people dependent upon the drugs, even just normal drugs like for high blood pressure, rather than cure the situation. They want you to perpetuate it. They make more money in perpetuating it, you know. Terrible.
So I want to give you guys a couple of sources that you can validate information. If you go to opensecrets.org, opensecrets.org, you will be able to see what politicians are getting from the concrete industry, the police organizations. You'll see how much money is pouring in and what politicians are getting paid from various industries, which then sways their vote. And so you'll have factual data. You'll be able to see, you know, how Joe Manchin is running coal company, energy companies. And so his votes are geared towards dirty energy simply because he owns energy companies. And so you'll see things being revealed, and you'll have knowledge. You'll be able to speak with authority when you look at sites like opensecrets.org. It's a nonpartisan website that keeps track of politicians' revolving doors and contributions made to politicians by various industries. So please check that out, opensecrets.org.
Who is quite a hallmark in stopping some good legislation during the first 2 years of the Biden administration. That's why the election in Georgia was so important. Just having a few more senators like we do this time is going to make a difference. It sounds like Sinema is going to coalesce with the Democrats, even though she's independent, to keep her committees. So it's still 51-49. It's just slightly better than 50-50, but makes a difference.
Exactly. So lots of homework to do. I'm going to continue doing my homework, and I'm looking forward to having some very exciting shows. Look for my show coming up with the Native Americans, in which we're going to be interviewing the water protectors, and we're going to be looking at the hundreds of missing Native American women around the country that nobody's talking about. When white ladies are missing, every 5 minutes you see it on the lamestream media, but no one is talking about the pattern of Native American women that are missing. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast and to come on board and to make comments. Please share the link for this broadcast on your social media and other outlets. Talk to your friends and families throughout the holidays here about these particular issues. Educate yourself, motivate yourselves. Let's get out here and fight. We got to fight for freedom. Nothing has changed. We still have these powers over us that want to enslave us all. We have to fight back, and we have advantages now. We have the internet. Now just think about the Montgomery bus boycott. They didn't have internet. Look how successful they were with that. We need to stop feeding and paying into companies like Tesla that are owned by people that want to harm our freedom. So once again, please educate yourselves. Start to look around. Things are very obvious in terms of what's going on. And with all of us contributing a little bit, we'll be able to overcome these forces that are attempting to enslave us all and harm our families and friends. Coming to you from Southern California, this is Walter Davis with Progress in the World, a radio show. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate all of you.
Thank you for your persistence, Walter, in staying in this field.
Thank you, Walter.